"'Plesiosaurus! A freshwater plesiosaurus!' cried Summerlee. "'That I should have lived to see such a sight! "'We are blessed, my dear Challenger, above all zoologists since the world began!'
"'It was not until the night had fallen, "'and the fires of our savage allies glowed red in the shadows, "'that our two men of science could be dragged away from the fascinations of that primeval lake.' Even in the darkness as we lay upon the strand, we heard from time to time the snort and plunge of the huge creatures who lived therein. At earliest dawn our camp was astir, and an hour later we had started upon our memorable expedition. Often in my dreams have I thought that I might live to be a war correspondent. In what wildest one could I have conceived the nature of the campaign which it should be my lot to report? Here, then, is my first dispatch from a field of battle. Our numbers had been reinforced during the night by a fresh batch of natives from the caves, and we may have been 400 or 500 strong when we made our advance. A fringe of scouts was thrown out in front, and behind them the whole force in a solid column made their way up the long slope of the bush country until we were near the edge of the forest. Here they spread out into a long, straggling line of spearmen and bowmen. Roxton and Summerlee took their position upon the right flank, while Challenger and I were on the left. It was a host of the Stone Age that we were accompanying to battle, we with the last word of the gunsmith's art from St. James Street and the Strand. We had not long to wait for our enemy. A wild, shrill clamor rose from the edge of the wood, and suddenly a body of ape-men rushed out with clubs and stones, and made for the center of the Indian line. It was a valiant move, but a foolish one, for the great bandy-legged creatures were slow afoot, while their opponents were as active as cats. It was horrible to see the fierce brutes with foaming mouths and glaring eyes, rushing and grasping, but forever missing their elusive enemies, while arrow after arrow buried itself in their hides. One great fellow ran past me roaring with pain, with a dozen darts sticking from his chest and ribs. In mercy I put a bullet through his skull, and he fell sprawling among the aloes. But this was the only shot fired, for the attack had been on the center of the line, and the Indians there had needed no help of ours in repulsing it. Of all the ape-men who had rushed out into the open, I do not think that one got back to cover.